really inventory was not the problem. Now, not mainstream media, but it felt like out there people were starting to realize it wasn't the problem. But when I went out to Dallas, I just again could not believe my eyes. When folks say that, the Fed or the government can step in and save the housing market, I invite them to come on one of these trips with me because the scale is impossible to understand. I mean, you go one block, there's a new build, another block, another new build community, a mile down the road, another new build. And by the way, often by the same builders. And so they're actually competing with themselves.
Melody Wright, good morning to you. How are you, my friend?
I'm doing well, Andy. How are you doing today?
I'm doing fantastic. Our last interview did exceeded my expectations, and I expected it to do really well with the audience. And as I was talking to you off air, I think it just really has to do with people are very concerned, and obviously a home is their biggest investment. They're just very concerned about that, where we're at in this cycle. And before we get started, I want to announce your Substack. I am a this is an endorsement of you. I am a supporter. I have purchased my subscription, and I read an article over the weekend. I was very happy with it.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Your Substack is M3 Melody at Substack. Is that correct?
Correct. Yes.
Okay, great. So let's get into it. So, Melody, you just got back from the road. Tell me about that, what you were seeing, and then let's work that out where we're at in the cycle.
Yeah, I think, Andy, what's just so shocking is that when I first went out on the road in 2023, January 23, you could see all the overbuilding and you could see it was just going gangbusters. But what I imagined is that things would start to slow down, after we had the bank failures, after we sort of seemed to have some awareness that really inventory was not the problem. Now, not mainstream media, but it felt like out there people were starting to realize it wasn't the problem. But when I went out to Dallas, I just again could not believe my eyes. When folks say that, the Fed or the government can step in and save the housing market, I invite them to come on one of these trips with me because the scale is impossible to understand. I mean, you go one block, there's a new build, another block, another new build community, a mile down the road, another new build. And by the way, often by the same builders. And so they're actually competing with themselves. And so what I saw was massive, massive sites. And I saw crazy offers like 3.75% FHA buy down, $50,000 price cut, $5,000 Pottery Barn gift card, and a free refrigerator for one house. And so we know the builders are taking about a 50% hair, 50,000 dollar haircut on all of these properties at least. And so I saw a lot of desperation from the builders, a lot of promotions. But what I didn't see, Andy, was anybody at these sites over the weekend looking for a new home. And unfortunately, a lot of these sites, you've got one section of completed homes of people that bought, a year ago, 2 years ago, and then you have large sections of not and in progress homes, which will likely never be sold. And just imagine if you were the person that bought into that neighborhood and what's happening to your comparables because these prices are just getting slashed. And so you're losing equity. And that's, we're starting to get trickles of articles talking about that loss of equity. And what I did is I went to a neighborhood that my colleague, John Comiskey, had identified as FHA underwater loans, originated largely by, you guessed it, the builders. And so these loans are the ones that are most at risk for going into foreclosure. So not only are you in a new build community or area where there's so many, they're never going to get sold, but you're also living next door to someone who's underwater on their mortgage. And if they lose a job, and I'll probably get the exact stats wrong. I just saw Challenger today come out and say we had some crazy year-over-year increase in layoffs. And so if you lose a job, then likely because of the restrictions that are going on that FHA loss mitigation programs, these folks will go to foreclosure or do a short sale. Now, quickly, what's a short sale? That's where the bank or non-bank will agree with you to take less money than is owed just to sell that property as quickly as possible. And that's the other thing I heard, Andy, when I was out in Dallas, because I was speaking at a default conference. The last time I went to that conference is an industry staple in the mortgage industry was 2014. And that was at the end of the last unwind. And we've talked about, you and I talked about how did we get out of that? We got out of it because Wall Street came in and bought up all those homes. Now, here's what you're going to find fascinating at that conference. I heard a speaker, I'm not going to say from what company, but let's just say they are a large owner, institutional investor, owner of properties. And what are they doing? They're doing disposition. And now I think we talked about this. We knew they were net sellers, but they're actually actively disposed. They've got a whole operation now where when people's lease is up, they are actually actively trying to sell these properties because of those areas like Atlanta and places where institutional ownership is massive. So that was, very enlightening in terms of the builders just went crazy. They didn't slow down. They sped up, as well as this default conference where I heard short sales are exploding. There people are like getting phone calls and it's almost as if overnight. So this idea that we don't have underwater mortgages is just wrong. And we can talk about why that is and why the Fed thinks that and why that's not true. Mm-hmm. But I also heard from an institutional investor about their dispositions and they're seeing that they're getting the appraisal or broker price opinion where they say how much they think the house is. And then the agent that is used to selling these types of properties comes in much lower and says, no, this house is going to be sold for much lower. And so, you know, they've been chasing and trying to get to what is the right price for this home right now.
Yeah. Okay. So
that was a lot. I'm sorry.
No, don't be sorry. Don't be sorry. I didn't want to stop you. It's like, where do you go with all that? I was taking notes as you were talking. So the first thing I want to talk about, okay, so you were in Dallas and I've asked this question before, but I'll ask it again. Problems all over the country, just not a specific region, correct?
That's correct. They have different problems.
Sorry, but I'm not laughing at you. I'm just like,
they all have different problems, but you know, just logically, we talked about all that migration to the South. Well, where did they come from? You know?
Right.
So we can talk about each region and we can talk about its problems, but they all have problems and they're also all rife with speculation. In the existing home market as well with these fix and flips. And you don't even want to hear about the case I looked into yesterday. I do. I mean,
go ahead.
Okay. We'll talk. Okay. All right. Go ahead.
Go ahead.
Someone had asked me to look into a property in Arizona. I get random requests from my followers and I do really, some of this is very quite interesting, Andy, like, you know, what happened to this property? And this was a crazy one. Like they have it in total somewhere almost $5 million in loans on a $1.6 million property. What they did was they used it as a piggy bank and you could see it was all these private notes. And so it was one of these situations. And this is something that people don't understand is happening.
That's like 80% leverage. Go ahead.
Correct. But guess what? The lender had no idea. The lender had no idea because one of the things that happened during COVID is we had delays at the county recording offices. Okay. And so when you go get a new loan, they're going to run title on your house and look at what's been recorded. Are there any liens? Like, did you pay your taxes? Is there another mortgage on your property that hasn't been satisfied? Well, when the delays, nobody was staffing these counties. And so oftentimes like LA had over a year delay in recording mortgages. Well, people got wise to this. And so they could take out multiple loans on one property. We're about to see. I spent a lot of time in my career. Fixing these title issues, So, but I have seen things I have never seen before already. It's just
Yeah.
getting started. And so these private, what they would do is they would turn around and they would go to you because you it would be a group of like investors and say, hey, give me a private loan for $50,000. And you got to remember, people were flush with cash because of PPP, ERC, EIDL, you know, forget those little checks we got in the mail. I mean, all those PPP programs, et cetera. And so they would say, okay, here's 50,000. And then they would pretend like that 50,000 was paid for and do what's called a release on record. But then they would go to a bigger lender and get a bigger loan out.
Gosh.
And then they would go to and so what I could tell in this one loan, so there's four, five properties in the bankruptcy right now. From this one loan, probably 15 people are left holding the bag because they went over and over to these limited parties. And also they sold this thing into a securitization.
Okay, so Wall Street
Yeah.
owns it, right? Yep.
Yeah. So, and of course, this was a private securitization. So it's a smaller market than say the government securitizations. But still those bondholders are holding the bag too. So it is a real mess. And this is Arizona is a hotbed for this stuff, as is Florida, as is
So is
California.
Atlanta. So Atlanta,
So is
yeah.
Atlanta. So these private investors who watched too many YouTube videos went absolutely nuts, and they all thought we were going to get rich and they could be made whole because home prices would continue to appreciate.
Yeah, as it always does.
Right.
Let's talk about a little bit about so this is a huge, huge problem. I mean, we're just going down the chain here. The problem for the builders, if you would, and a lot of these builders are commercially traded. I mean,
Right.
are publicly traded, and it's a huge issue for the banks, and it's a huge issue for municipal bonds. Correct me if I'm wrong.
It is in a back way, yes, but yes.
Well, let's start at the top. So what's home builders are incentivizing themselves, but they're not moving inventory. And then all the big investors, they're starting to dump. Correct me if I'm wrong. So how do you see this playing out for home builders right now?
Yeah, they're in a lot of trouble. And this is, you know, they were really starting to get in that trouble in 2022. But, you know, when the Fed came in and saved SVB and made everybody, you know, FDIC made everybody whole, like it was just kind of the hall pass to continue going crazy. But now you can see all of their margins are getting slammed. They're running out of cash. They're having to cut further and further. The National Association of Home Builders does a sentiment survey every month of the builders. And they said this September, they did the most price cuts that they've done since COVID, which they were slashing prices
Gosh,
back then. So
I remember, yeah.
existing home sellers have no idea what's coming for them. And even and so those so even if they don't have these new builds around them, on the other side, like in the Northeast, you have to deal with demographics, but we'll talk about that later. But the builders themselves are running out of runway. You know, people were very confused about Buffett buying the builders. To me, I was not. A Buffett bought my debt of my former company when we
Tell me
were in
about that.
trouble.
Why weren't you
Yeah.
confused? Because I was.
Because he does this. He gets in right before the
The
bailout.
bailout.
He knows the bailout is
I thought
coming.
that.
And he
Yep.
knew it with honestly, I believe he got a phone call when he bought the debt of
I do
my
too.
former company. And I think he probably got a phone call because what will happen is we'll have some government program that's about affordable housing. And like the government could, I mean, we're making investments in Intel, right? Like the government could turn around and say, you know what, we'll buy these properties at
We'll
a
back
70,
this.
like a 30% haircut. You know, we'll give you 70% for it. Because Lennar got a tax bailout last time. They'll figure it out. And I think he probably just chose to. Or he's just wrong. And he had he because unfortunately, if you just track the data, it doesn't look as scary. I mean, it should look a little scary if you track demographics as well. But unfortunately, the data is just not accurate. And if you go out on the road though and see what I've seen, Andy, there's just no I mean, there's no way out of this that doesn't include a bulldozer. So
yeah, okay. So I want to get that. There's no way out of this. I want to get to if there is a strategy for people. But before that, we talked about, okay, so home builders are slashing everything. They're dumping everything. You talked about communities, projects, whatever, that are basically going to be, I mean, they're not, they're basically going to be vacant, if you would. What's going to happen? You just said bulldozer, but yeah, meaning let's game this out 2 to 5+ years. Because I know, like, I remember going through this previously in 08, 09, and especially in California, I just remember watching some TV show and it just had vacancies everywhere. Yes. In these projects. So yeah, game this out to me. What's going to happen with all of this?
Yeah, so, you
bulldoze?
Know, yeah, bulldoze will be a part of it. Government intervention will be a part of it. You know, I could see it, people are talking about privatizing Fannie and Freddie right now. I give that a low likelihood. And even if they do, very low likelihood of success. Mm-hmm. But what they could do is use the agencies to partner with some, you know, probably questionable nonprofit and buy up these homes because you know, maybe rehab them or sell them in an affordable housing program. But a lot of them, so we're at the part of the cycle. There's a big lawsuit down in Florida against Lennar from the Seminole tribe due to quality. And that's the other thing that I saw on these sites in Dallas. Beer bottles, Crown Royal bottles, cases and empty, like hundreds of empty cases of beer. And so Lennar's getting sued right now for quality and building, because unfortunately what happened is, you know, you might get the contractor, they hire a sub, that sub hires a sub, and they aren't qualified because everybody was trying to get this done as quickly and cheaply as possible. And so we're entering the part of the cycle where a lot of these are just not well made. And the bulldozer is going to be the only answer in some of these cases. And I think it's going to be a lot more than people realize, especially in places outside of, you know, Austin, Phoenix, Dallas, San Antonio, these areas. So, Florida, good grief. Like, it is just nuts down there. So I think the bulldozer is going to be part of the solution because, you know, right now the average household size, I think we talked about, is 2.5. Like, we truly don't need this housing.
Yeah.
What I really hope would happen is we would all sit down in our local communities and figure out what to do versus waiting for the federal government to come in and mandate something. Unfortunately, it just feels like so much of our society is, you know, inflicted with learned helplessness, and they want the government to come in and give them solutions. So, but I wish, and this is why I talk about people getting involved locally, is, you know, you need to get ready because pain is coming to your area. And to your point about the municipalities, you know, they're going to be in a lot of trouble because they won't be getting that property tax they were banking on.
Okay, I want to go to all of that. I love everything that you just said, by the way, getting involved locally and figuring this out together. But let's get to that in just a minute. Let's talk about what are the biggest hot spots, if you would, and break it up into, I don't know, a handful of regions, maybe, I don't know, the four regions of the U.S., but what are the hottest spots, if you would, and what are the hottest spots in those regions? That you see, and just talk a little bit about each region's problem. So,
yeah. So we'll start with the South. You know,
that's where I live.
Yeah. And I mean,
it's ground zero, right?
It's ground zero. And everyone believed every Californian and every New Yorker was coming, not just to the South, but to their city specifically. They didn't build for a local community, right? It reminds me so much of there's this abandoned settlement or village in China where the whole concept was around polo. They built this massive polo, this whole city around it, not understanding that nobody that lived adjacent to this area could afford what they were building. And of course, when tourism kind of dropped and they didn't get the appetite, you've now got this massive multi-billion dollar settlement that's completely empty. So we did the same thing. We built luxury. We built luxury multifamily, luxury homes, thinking that those Californians and New Yorkers were coming. Well, so, you know, it's hard to just pick one spot in terms of where is the real big trouble. But, you know, Miami, like lots of trouble. Fort Lauderdale, Fort Myers is just getting crushed because after Ian, investors went in there and they were like, oh, waterfront property, let me snap that right up. Well, the problem is insurance went up or if you could get it on those waterfront properties. And everybody knows, yes, there's the backstop with Citizens Insurance, which is government backed. However, they don't pay out very well. And so now you've just got investors like listing because they can't afford to be in Fort Myers. So also the middle of Florida, people went nuts building in the swamps again. Lakewood Ranch, Florida is going to be something we'll go down in the history books. And so, but you know, and then in Texas, like I have a bet with one of my friends, is it going to be Texas going to be worse or Florida? I mean, man, after what I just saw, there's over 14,653 new builds listed for sale right now. And we know they don't list all of them. That is just pure insanity in Dallas,
in Dallas.
So, and they also have existing inventory that's exploded up 20% year over year, just up
That's huge. Yeah.
And rentals, they are a bunch of rentals because what's happening in a lot of the suburbs of Dallas is a lot of tech workers, H-1B actually, but a lot of tech workers that have recently gotten laid off are gotten called back to the office.
Yeah.
So they're scrambling. They either have to sell or they have to rent, but they're not having any luck. And so the South is in a ton of trouble. Now, you know, I think that they're going to have somewhat favorable demographics for a little while, meaning that you're still going to have people trickle in if they can afford to move because favorable taxes, maybe political.
A lot of tech, a lot of industry here. Yeah. Go ahead.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, you know, some of the cities like, and I mean, Nashville, I can't believe I didn't mention that. I mean, that is just going to be an absolute disaster. And I think Atlanta is going to be problematic because of all those institutional investors and all of the building out in those exurbs.
I see it. I walk out my house and my house is 50 years old. But I see the new development just on my daily walks. And they're still building. But go ahead.
Still building. Yeah. So then, you know, that's where everything started. But we also started seeing stuff in the West, you know, Boise, Phoenix, these
huge building there, both. Go ahead.
Yeah. Massive overbuilding outside like of Riverside in California. But really the biggest story in California, of course, is the demographics and the fact in LA alone, you had 300,000 people leave from 2020 to now. I mean, that is like, it is insane. And for someone who used to travel to LA for work and, you know, it would be a parking lot on 405. It wouldn't matter if it was 2 a.m. It wouldn't matter I went my last trip there. There wasn't a soul on that highway. And I thought I was in a movie. I thought I was like
a zombie apocalypse, right?
So you have two problems in the West is you have, they as well thought every Californian was either going to move to Nevada, to Las Vegas, or Phoenix, or, you know, Boise, Bozeman. I mean, everybody, because they got five people in their area, they just assumed that this would continue.
Here it comes. Yeah.
And so they all did it. So you've got big chunks of the country thinking they're going to get all the people from two states, basically, or you can throw in Illinois as well. But it, you know, there's not enough people coming for that. I mean, a lot of people can't afford to move, Andy. I mean, they may want to leave, but they can't afford it. They're not mobile. I mean, we like relocation. I think it was 2023. I'm not sure if they have the 2024 stats yet, but it was the lowest we'd had on record in terms of people moving because they simply couldn't afford it. Yeah. And so the West is in trouble, both from overbuilding, but in the big cities and in certain areas, it's also just exodus, like people, and what you have there that people don't understand is very low owner occupancy. And so it's not, it's landlords. The landlords are going to get hit. They've already been hit because, you know, you can't evict out there. I have clients who have multiple multifamily properties that the stories they tell me of being like accosted with a gun, but that nothing they can do. So really what's going to happen, that's going to hit the landlord class because so few people actually own out there. They really don't. Yeah. So that's kind of the West.
Yeah.
And then you have the poor, and it, stop me if you want to talk about any of
it. No, go ahead. Okay. This is very, very good. Go ahead.
And the, you know, the Pacific Northwest, they also did the same. Seattle, they built like crazy in Seattle and Portland. And meanwhile, you know, that's an area I need to get up to and look at, like boots on the ground. I haven't done as much, but what I'm hearing out there is we're seeing price declines in Seattle and Portland already. And also just Portland, you know, it sounds as if nobody wants to live in that city anymore just because of how it's bad the drugs are. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And a lot of our city centers, this is all over the country because I've driven them and I've seen it. Then you take the Midwest. We'll start, you know.
Yeah, I'm curious about that. I don't have any family in the Midwest. I've spent a lot of time in the Midwest just on business, but it would seem like that would be a stable place here in the market. Tell me about it.
So that's
what I think you're going to say.
No, that's what literally every housing analyst was saying out there at the end of 22 and 23. Like this is the last affordable market. And so
that's what I thought.
If you're going to, so 23 and 24 actually saw rampant like where every other area kind of slowed down. They saw rampant speculation. And so that was when their market actually started heating up. And if you talk to people, it's so funny. I had this exact exchange with somebody yesterday on X Twitter. People that don't live there are like, well, it's relatively low cost of living. I mean, the home prices didn't get that out of whack. Well, if you live there, it's not, because your median income is like less than $40,000. So you can't afford these home prices. So it's all relative. It's, you know, it's all, and that again, the investors came in without thinking who's going to sustain these prices? Who's going to buy these homes? And so what you're now seeing in the Midwest is inventory is starting to grow non-seasonally, which is how it happened in all these other places too. And so Detroit are hitting highs in inventory. And so it is happening quickly. Like I'm seeing week over week increases. So motivation is hitting the Midwest. As well as there was just a Governor DeWine just talked about selling some of these tax liens they have to a credit collection company, because, you know, that's the other thing people don't understand. Property taxes have gone up. Insurance has gone up. But the county can take your property if you don't pay your property taxes. It'll usually take some time, but they can. And so the Midwest is starting to show signs of weakness, and it's going to be just like, it'll take time. This all takes an inordinate amount of time. You always think it should go faster, but it doesn't.
Yeah, but you're seeing it happen now.
Oh yeah. And because the Midwest had already been killed in terms of demographics, you know, when manufacturing left the area, like, I mean, just the demographic decline in places like Chicago, you know, Cleveland,
Indiana, Ohio,
Indianapolis, like all of that was because of manufacturing leaving. And so they already had a ton of inventory and they, you know, and a lot of fixing and flipping that was going on there.
So that's about the Northeast. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Let's talk about the Northeast.
And then I want to talk about just implications for municipal bonds and just longer term implications. And I want to talk about some strategies that you're willing to share, or what should people do, some actionable steps. But go ahead, talk to me about the Northeast.
Yeah. So the Northeast story is they have their speculation, you know, that definitely existing homes, developers, they have a little more multifamily there because they didn't have as much space, but where they could build, they did build. But the biggest issue in the Northeast are its demographics, you know, which are stories like take Rochester, New York. Speculation went wild there because they're getting a maybe getting a microchip plant down the road that's going to bring, they say 3,000 jobs, but they haven't been able to prove that. And it's taken forever. So people are buying up all these vacant homes in Rochester. Right. Why are they vacant? Because they lost so many people. And so the story in the Northeast is abysmal demographics, older population. And, where you think that you've got a lot of stability in a neighborhood, you actually have a lot of people that are going to be aging out. And I'm helping many people in situations right now where they inherited properties that they can't afford and they're trying to sell them. And so
that inventory is hitting right now.
Yeah. And in places like Boston, what's happened is because of the doom loop of depreciating commercial real estate, they aren't getting the property taxes from that commercial real estate anymore. And so what did they do in Boston? They said, well, we're not getting it from commercial. We're going to increase taxes for our residents. And people just simply can't afford this. If you were a boomer, if you were holding on to a second home, a vacation home, and I'm definitely seeing this in all of the short-term rental Northeast towns, people are trying to offload those right now because they simply just can't afford it. And there's an awareness problem. Like, I think that folks there are really deluded. You take somewhere like New York City, people are like, you can't find an apartment in New York City. That's because they're being held off market and they're vacant because people can't afford. They had, it was low income housing. What is it? Where they freeze the rent stabilized, right?
Yeah. I know what you're saying. Yep.
So in 2019,
rent control,
rent control. Yeah. In 2019, there was a law passed about how much you could increase your rent, and that made it so that most developers and landlords could not actually fix the apartments up to code because they couldn't afford it. And so what did they do? They're leaving them all off market. Estimates are between 50 to 100,000 apartments. No, I know.
That's awful.
It's awful as well as, in some of these cities too, we have to remember, going back to Chicago for a second, one of the reasons people are like, rent's going crazy there. Why was that? Well, they gave immigrants $15,000, basically 6 months of rent for free when they came. And this had a massive, a massive impact on demand. That program has been scaled back. And so it takes time for that to filter through. And you're starting to see it already. But in the Northeast did similar things as well. In Rochester, for instance, and in some of these places around the immigrant programs. So there's a lot of delusion. There's a lot of on purpose misunderstanding. But the Northeast has plenty of inventory. Where did all those people go that left New York, Pennsylvania, et cetera? It's just taking time. Where I lived in Pittsburgh, there was somebody moving down to Florida every day. Like, you could just see them leave. And so all of these places, Pittsburgh, I think it was Pittsburgh or it was Philly, one of the two just hit the highest inventory in all my 2.5 years of tracking, almost 3 now. So it's starting to happen. It just takes time. And as well, you have, the National Association of Realtors that is just refusing to accept the reality on the ground, whereas the builders have no choice because they report to the street.
Yeah. So let's talk about, real quick, I really want to, because I think this is also a huge story and a huge problem, just more the downstream here, how it's hitting municipalities and municipal bonds, which I have a lot of experience with in just managing a bond portfolio, if you would. I remember, and I'm going to make this observation, it seems so much like 2007, 2008, 2009, that period. And that's when I was really worried about municipal, and it didn't happen because of more or less things got bailed out, but I was really worried about municipal bonds. Talk about that. What are municipalities on the hook here? What do you see happening? And then let's talk about some strategies that you want to share with all the viewers and listeners.
Yeah. So you have more municipal bond experience than me. What I'll say is what you're seeing, especially somewhere down like in Texas, where they're using these immigration numbers, like population increase numbers, to say, well, estimate what kind of revenue they're going to get for property tax to go, you know, buy a new school bus or whatever for the school district. One of my colleagues has found out in there is there's appraisal fraud happening in these city appraisal districts. And so
they have to almost not to say, not to say they have to commit fraud, but they high appraisals mean more money. So, and they have to keep the coffers full, or if they're low, they have to fill them back up. But go ahead.
No, 100%. And that's exactly right. And so they're issuing these bonds. They're really fraudulent because there's nothing, you know, basically behind it. And one of the ways the counties and municipalities got bailed out last time, Andy, was through the banks. What they did is they came up with programs like vacant property registration. You know, and if you didn't do that, you could get fined up sometimes $10,000 a day. And these counties made bank. I mean, we paid them so much money, as well as the servicers are on the hook. They have to make sure that they have to mow the yard every 30 days. They have to winterize the property. If there's vandalism there, the servicer has to go clean it up. The problem is, you know, these non-banks, a lot of them aren't going to have the cash, which is going to impact the banks. And then because I think the private market is much bigger than we understand, they're not going to be at a servicer where that people are going out to mow the lawn and do things like that. And that property I was telling you about in Phoenix, outside of Phoenix, is one of those. It's private. And so right now it looks horrible. It's in total disrepair. So if there's nobody to pay the counties the exorbitant, you know, vacant property registration fees or things like that, I think that that's going to be way more problematic for the counties this time around. Yeah. And I don't think that they will get bailed out. I just don't see, based on what the actions, not the words, of this current administration, I think they're kind of like, you guys took that American Rescue Act money. You did what you did. It's kind of on you now, you know, like, and if you want us to come, you're probably not going to like it very much, you know? So I have a feeling, and wasn't there just recently a big muni bond blow up? Something happened.
Yes. I don't know exactly the specifics of it though, but yes. And also on that same note, I wouldn't be surprised if I would agree with you because of the rhetoric coming out of the administration. And I'm saying this as agnostic politically.
Correct. Yeah.
That being said, I just, when right after our first talk 4 weeks ago, it was literally the next day, you said, "Hey, Andy, they're going to get bailed out." I just see them getting bailed out. First page of Zero Hedge, first page of the Daily Mail. Scott Benson bailing out home builders or a home buyer.
Yeah, national housing emergency.
The housing market. Yeah. And I was like, great call, man. So I could see that happening. But you're right. The rhetoric coming out of the administration, I don't see that. But I think it's such a huge problem. I don't know if there's going to be any other choice. So anyways, anyways, talk to me about that. And I mean this to don't give away any sauce, and I want people to come to you and support you on your Substack. But talk to me about solutions. What do you see people need to do to protect themselves here? And you also made a comment about, I would hope people would get together locally and talk about this, in which I completely agree. But talk to me about some advice that you would give to people. Go ahead.
And the secret sauce is free. this is important because what I'm so fearful of are the young families that are going to be on the hook and watch, you know, their future purchasing power just get smashed, you know, which causes all kinds of problems. But you have to really get to know your community. You can't go to Zillow, you can't go to Realtor and I don't care if they say, "Oh, look, this is why, you know, here's how much, you know, population increase." Okay, well, what kind of population increase was it? Was it from immigration? Was it from temporary workers that were coming to build these homes and now they're leaving? You know, what's the quality? How many owner occupants do I have in my neighborhood? Is my neighborhood one where there's a lot of landlords? And this data, believe it or not, I mean, not right now, unfortunately, because the government shut down, but you can go historically, you can pull all of this data from the census. They have massive, you know, amounts of IPUMS also out there is another data provider at the University of Minnesota. Like you can pull all this data. Now, if you don't want to do that, you can, you know, I share a lot of this in my Substack, but you've got to look at the quality of these metrics. Like, okay, sure, there was a population increase in my area. Okay, who was it? Can they afford the prices around here? What does unemployment look like? You know, and, you know, go around the neighborhood, talk to people that live there. So Andy, people have to get out from behind their computers. I mean, that's, you cannot buy a home. I don't care what anybody says. And, you know, this current open door mania is just hysterical to me, but not because there are going to be a lot of people that get hurt. I've known this company. I did a project. I've known them for a long time. You know, no. Mm-mm. So it's, you have to get out. You have to really look. I use a program, they don't sponsor me, but it's called Property Radar. It's subscription based. It's not foolproof, but you can go and see things like who's filed a notice of default in that neighborhood. How many tax liens are there? How many bankruptcies are there? How many owner occupants are there? How many deaths are there? Because that's the other thing in the older neighborhoods. So if you think about the new builds, you're at risk of vacancy because nobody's ever going to buy it. In these neighborhoods with older homeowners, you're at risk because it could be that property goes into probate and stays there for a long time and nobody's taking care of it, which is going to degrade your property value. So you have to be thinking about a ton of stuff they never talk about on Zillow or Redfin or any of these listing sites. You know, so and unfortunately, most realtors, they're selling you something. I mean, that's their job. Is to sell you something and get the commission. And so it's hard to find, you know, ones that aren't just pushing. But if you come to them, you know, more aware and educated and don't fall for just this is a rate story and rates are coming down, you know, I think that you probably would have, you know, a better shot working with a professional. And there are some good ones out there. But again, like everything, I mean, you know, we're so, in many ways, Andy, we're so lazy. You know, do you go to a doctor and you don't like them and you just keep going to them? I mean, is that what you, so
right.
That's
a great analogy. Yes, exactly. Do your homework and then you're going to have to go through people. You're going to have to go through people. That's what I tell some of my people and that's what I've done. And what I mean by going through people is not only do I want to like them, they have to be competent, very competent in what they're doing. I have to like you and you got to be competent. So, All right. Anything else? And we'll end on that, but anything else you want to leave our viewers and listeners? And I'd love to have you on again in the next 30 days to 45 days, but anything you want to give else you want to give?
Yeah. I think we have to, you know, don't fall for the FOMO, don't fall for the YOLO because right now, I mean, these are just advertisements. These newspapers we read, these are just advertisements for somebody that wants to sell us something. Yeah. And when you look around right now, this is not a good time to be buying things with how precarious the economy is, the fact that we have this oversupply. And so I think, you know, we've got to shut out the noise and stop looking at, well, they did this. Oh, they've got a boat and a car and a house. Yeah, wait. Just wait a couple of weeks. That boat's probably going to be for sale if it's not being repoed, you know,
it's like not being taken away. Yeah,
exactly. Like this keeping up with the Joneses, believe me, suddenly the G wagons are going to disappear. Like things, you will just start to quietly see people go bankrupt. And that's what's starting to happen. And so just don't believe the hype and think about what's best for your family. And I know there's a lot of pressure about that first home and, you know, but really what matters is if you're happy. That's what your kids are going to remember. Do you want them remembering you fighting about money? Or do you want them remembering that great meal you had together or playing, you know, and even if it's an apartment in the park down the road, like those are the memories kids care about. They don't care about, you know, whether it was in a 3-2, you know.
Right.
And so that's what I think perspective is just really important.
Couldn't agree more with you, Melody. I will have you on anytime, but I'd love to have you on again soon. To all my viewers and listeners, I was introduced to Melody just by, it was a realtor down in the South. I would shout out her name, but I am so embarrassed I forgot her name, but she did it on LinkedIn. Melody was exceptionally responsive to me. Yeah, I am a very proud supporter of Melody's Substack. So if you care to do that, please do that. And to get the continued great work, allow Melody to do the great work for all of us. So we're all in this together. I want to thank you so much. I've rambled too much. I'd love to have you on again really soon.
Thank you so much for having me. It's my pleasure.
You bet. Bye-bye.